Thank you. Don't you love technology? So good to see everybody this morning. As I'm scanning the audience, I see we have visitors. You are indeed our most welcome and honored guest. Thank you for coming and worshiping God together with us today. It is our sincere hope and desire that you feel so welcome that you want to come back and worship God together with us again whenever you're able to come and be with us. When I was growing up in Mississippi, there was a saying that I heard several times as I was leaving the house. Don't forget who you are. Now, what that meant was, don't embarrass mom and dad. I was Wayne Fancher, Jr. My father was known in the community. He was known as being a Christian. My mother was known in the community as being a Christian. And they did not want me going out and living in such a way that I brought dishonor to myself and dishonor to them. And so I've heard that phrase several times. Don't forget who you are. And so I wanted to work up a sermon on that this morning because all of us here as Christians, I want you as you're going about your day-to-day living to not forget who and what you are. There's a phrase that you'll find several times in the New Testament, and that phrase is this. Do you not know? It's kind of like, don't you know this? Come on. Don't you know this about yourself? And so let's look at a few of these don't you know verses. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, 16 through 17. Do you not know that you are the temple of God and that the Spirit of God dwells in you? If anyone defiles the temple of God, God will destroy him, for the temple of God is holy, which temple you are. In the Old Testament, with the law during Moses' time, they had the tabernacle. And then later on with Solomon, he built the temple. And in the tabernacle and in the temple, there was the holy place where the priest functioned. But in the very back of the tabernacle and the temple, there was the Holy of Holies, where only the high priest was allowed to go. And in the Holy of Holies was the Ark of God. And on top of that was the mercy seat, the presence of God. Only the high priest was allowed to go in there. In the presence of God. And what made the tabernacle holy, what made the temple holy, was the fact that God was in the temple. Today in Christianity, you need to understand this. You are the temple of God today. And the reason he calls us the temple of God is because the Spirit of God dwells in you. And as a consequence of the Spirit of God dwelling in us, that makes you and I holy. Let that sink in. The Holy Spirit is dwelling in you. Continuing with the same line of thought. 2 Corinthians, this time, chapter 6, 16 through 17. And what agreement has the temple of God with idols? For you are the temple of the living God. As God has said, I will dwell in them and walk among them. I will be their God and they shall be my people. Continuing in the text here. He says, therefore, come out from among them. Be separate, says the Lord. Do not touch what is unclean, and I will receive you. I will be a father to you, and you shall be my sons and daughters, says the Lord Almighty. So here in 2 Corinthians, we learn that as the temple of the Lord, God dwells in us. And again, that makes us holy. And he tries to explain to us the consequences of being holy. We are to be to the point to where the things that are in the world, the sin that is in the world, you don't even touch it. You have nothing to do with it. You come out from among it, separating yourself from the world and the darkness and the sins that are in the world. I've told you this story before, but I'll tell you again. You've seen the coffee table that is in my office. We used to have that coffee table in my home. And you see how low it is to the ground. And as it is my office, we put nice, pretty things on the coffee table. And my little daughter, Jennifer, learned how to walk. She was now about 2 or 3 years old, and she wanted to start playing with the nice things on the coffee table. And I kept chasing her away and chasing her away. And finally, I got upset, and I said, Jennifer, leave it alone. Don't even touch it. And she looked up at me, and she stuck out her pinky and went, Yeah, you know what happened after that. But we understand what God means when he says, don't touch it. The sin that is in the world that we're surrounded by. The darkness that we are surrounded by. Don't even touch it. And yet sometimes what we do is we come up and we touch it. Hey, no lightning. I didn't die. So we come back to it again. Oh, hey, look. My life didn't fall apart. I didn't die. I don't see what the big deal is. And so we dive in. Please understand this about you. If you're a Christian, God is in you. You are the temple of God. As a consequence of that, that makes you holy. And we are expected to live a life of holiness, separating ourselves from the world. He goes even further here and he talks about if you will separate yourself from the things that are unclean and not even touch them, he will be a father to us. But look at this. He will make us his sons and daughters. Oh, wow. We're going to go deeper into that later on, but the concept and the idea of God is our Father. We are children of God. Continuing back with the concept of the temple. This time, 1 Corinthians chapter 6, 15 through 20. Flee sexual immorality. Every sin that a man does is outside the body, but he who commits sexual immorality sins against his own body. Or do you not know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have from God? And you are not your own, for you were bought at a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and spirit, which are God's. He begins the text here in verse 15 by saying, flee sexual immorality. Whenever temptation lies at the door, you run from it. You don't think, I can open this door, I can go through it, and it's going to be okay. When sin lies at the door, you keep the door shut. You don't let it in. You don't even touch it. You have nothing to do with it. And he tries to explain to him, here's this phrase again. Do you not know? There it is again. You see that? Do you not know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit? That's the third time he said that. Your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit, whom you have from God. He's trying to get across to us here the seriousness of fornication and adultery. Now, let's get real, folks. We live in a sex-crazed country, okay? And it has gone even more crazy in my lifetime. And the immorality I remember when I was a little boy that was around us, the pornography that was around us, yes, it was there. It is amplified at a level today that's absolutely crazy. Back when I was a little boy, you had to sneak in, grab a magazine. It was nasty if you want to look at it. Nowadays, you can get your computer, you can get your smartphone, you can get your iPad, you can just put a few buttons and you got pornography right in front of you. You must understand this. This is the battle of our age. This is the battle we are facing today. And if we face it lightly, we're going to not just touch it, we're going to dive into it and get overcome by it. Sin lies at the door, yeah. Flee from it. Get away from it. Don't touch it. Come out from among them. Be separate, says the Lord, and he will receive you. You are holy. Live holy. Continuing. 1 Corinthians chapter 6 this time, 15 through 20 again. Do you not know that your bodies are members of Christ? Shall I then take the members of Christ and make them members of a harlot? Certainly not. Or do you not know that he who is joined to a harlot is one body with her? For the two, he says, should become one flesh, but he who is joined to the Lord is one spirit with him. This time he says, don't you know Christ is in you? Don't you know that your body is members of Christ? The way it's put over in Ephesians chapter 3, the close of verse 17, is Christ dwells in your heart through faith. Christ dwells in our heart through faith. Christ is in my heart. Should I then take Christ and join Christ to a prostitute? I don't mind telling you, it makes me want to vomit. Exactly. Don't do it. Don't do it. Because Christ is in you. Don't you know this? Don't you know the Holy Spirit is in you, that you're the temple of God, that you are holy? This time, 2 Corinthians 13:5-6. Examine yourselves as to whether you're in the faith. Test yourselves. Look at this. Do you not know? There's the phrase again. Do you not know yourselves that Jesus Christ is in you? Unless indeed you are disqualified, but I trust that you will know that we are not disqualified. Are you disqualified? How do you get disqualified? By diving in. Not only are you touching it, you've opened the door and gone through it and are living in it. You don't want God to leave your heart. You don't want to be disqualified. Keep God in your heart and live as someone who understands the Holy Spirit is within my heart. Jesus is within my heart. And live a life of holiness. James puts it this way in chapter 4, verse 4. Adulterers and adulteresses, do you not know that friendship with the world is enmity with God? Whoever therefore wants to be a friend of the world makes himself an enemy of God. Again, notice the phrase, how he opens here. Do you not know? That's the common denominator between all the verses I'm showing at the very beginning. Don't you know this? That if you're going to go into adultery, if you're going to be friendship with the world or where you like this, I'm going to stay here. You're an enemy of God. You're disqualified. You're lost, putting it another way. So we need to wake up to the reality of the battles we are facing, brethren. The darkness around us is getting darker. I got some sad news for you. It's going to get even more dark. You think immorality is going to go away? No, it's not. It's going to get worse. You think the craziness is going to go away? No. It's going to get worse. And they're coming after your kids. They're coming after your children. They don't care if you know it. They're going to come after him anyway. We need to remember who we are. We are the temple of God. The Holy Spirit's dwelling in us. Christ is in us. And the temple of God is meant to be holy. Fleeing fornication. Not becoming friends with it. Not opening the door and diving in. Look at these other verses about us. We talked to you earlier about Corinthians, how that if you will do this and come up from among them and not touch the unclean thing, that he will receive you. He will be our Father. We will be his sons and daughters. Ephesians says in chapter 5, verses 1 through 2, therefore be imitators of God as dear children, and walk in love as Christ also has loved us and given himself for us as an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling aroma. Have you heard the old phrase, like father, like son? Here he talks about how we are dear children. And as dear children, what we should be doing with God as our Father is imitating our Father. And understanding the primary thing we know about God is that God is love. The way he showed his love to us was by giving his Son to die for us. The reason Jesus showed his love to us is so that we could come to comprehend the magnitude of how much you are loved. I'll put it to you this way. Let's see who I'm going to pick on. All right, I'll pick on all you people that have children, babies. By the way, know this. Your children's voices and cries is music to my ears. It does not bother me. That's the next generation of the body of Christ. But would any of you children, or any of your parents of children, would you give your sons or your daughters to die for me? How about it? Alex, I love you a whole lot. Known you all your life. Would you give your daughters for me? No, I wouldn't give mine for you either. The reason I did that is because you've got to understand, God does love you that much. He did give his son to die for you. And Jesus does love you that much. He gave himself for you. And when I know and I believe this by faith, I find myself doing something I've never can comprehend how deep it is. I love God whom I've never seen. I love Jesus and I never seen him. He wants us to imitate that love. He wants us to learn to honestly love people. To give. To love enough to give. To understand what their needs are. And give. And give. And give. And give. Because we love people. He wants us to become imitators of our Father. But look at some more verses on this. 1 Peter chapter 1, 15 through 16, it says, "But he who called you is holy. Just so you also be holy in all your conduct, because it is written, 'Be holy, for I am holy.'" That's from Leviticus, the last part of this. You remember earlier what we learned about the temple? You're the temple of God. The temple of God is holy. So therefore, how should you live? Holy. Now that we're talking about God as our Father, whom we're supposed to be imitating, and notice what it says here. He who called you is holy, so what should we be? Holy, imitating our Father. Same concept, 1 John chapter 2, 29. If you know that he is righteous, you know that everyone who practices righteousness is born of him. So here we're talking about being children of God, born of him. He is righteous, God is righteous, God is holy, God is love. So we should be striving to understand, I need to be trying to become righteous, holy, and actually learn to show love. Continuing with the concept, 1 John chapter 3, verse 3. And everyone who has this hope in him purifies himself just as he is pure. Are you seeing the pattern? It keeps talking about what God is like. God is love. God loves us. God is holy. God is righteous. God is pure. And since he is our Father and we are his children, our whole life should be spent striving to imitate our Father, to be holy, to be righteous, to be pure, to truly show love to the people in the world around us. The way it's put over in 1 John chapter 3 and verse 10, "And this is the children of God and the children of the devil to manifest. Whoever does not practice righteousness is not of God, nor is he who does not love his brother." So how do you know if you're the children of God? Well, if you're practicing righteousness by faith, yeah. And if you learn to love your brother, you see there it is again. Righteousness and love. You're following your Father. You're truly his children. You're truly born of God because you're practicing righteousness by faith. And then again in Philippians this time, chapter 2, 14 through 15. "Do all things without complaining and disputing, that you may become blameless and harmless, children of God without fault in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation, among whom you shine as lights in the world." Look at this text, if you will. He's talking about the way the world was at that time, at the time of the writing of Philippians chapter 2. He talks about how they're in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation. Yeah, that pretty much describes our world. A crooked and perverse generation. And we in this darkness should be shining as lights in the world. But look at what he says above that. Children of God, without fault. It comes back to who we are. Don't forget who you are. Know who you are. You are children of God. Sons and daughters of God. He is holy. He is righteous. He is pure. He is love. Learn to be the reflection of your Father. Learn to follow God. And then this next one comes from Exodus chapter 19, verse 5 through 6. In the context here, the children of Israel are coming into a covenant relationship with God at Mount Sinai. And now that they are coming under this covenant relationship with God, there's something they need to understand about who they are. "Now, therefore, if you will indeed obey my voice and keep my covenant, then you shall be a special treasure to me above all people, for all the earth is mine, and you shall be to me a kingdom of priests and a holy nation. These are the words which you shall speak to the children of Israel." Look at what I put in yellow for you. Special treasure. And then he says, "You shall be to me a kingdom of priests and a holy nation." Wow. Special. holy priests. Now, the reason I want to show that to you is when we come over to the new covenant. The beauty of the new covenant is you can be special, royal, priest, holy. You can be all of these things even though you're not Jewish. You got to understand what happened there in Exodus. That's between God and the children of Israel. Last time I checked, I'm Gentile, folks. I am. If you know what that means I'm not Jewish in my heritage. Titus 2:14 is talking about the new covenant. Who gave himself for us that he might redeem us from every lawless deed and purify for himself his own special people zealous for good works. There again, it comes back to the concept of trying to purify ourselves. But he talks about how we are his own special people. We are the people of God. And we are special in our relationship with God. He says again in 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9, but you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, his own special people, that you may proclaim the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. Look at the terms that are used here. Chosen generation, royal priesthood, holy nation, special people. Do you know this about yourself? That you are chosen, you are royal, you are holy, you are special. Know this about yourself and live this way. Don't forget who you are. You are a son of the King. Live like a son of the King. Live like children of God who is holy. Recognize you are a royal priesthood. You are a holy nation. You are special people to God, chosen generation. Please understand this about yourself and then live according to it. Revelation now, chapter 1, 5 through 6. And from Jesus Christ, the faithful witness, the firstborn from the dead and the ruler over the kings of the earth, to him who loved us and washed us from our own sins in his own blood, and has made us kings and priests to God his Father, to his God and Father. To him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. What I put in yellow for you here is how Jesus Christ has made us kings and priests. In the times of the Old Testament, the highest you could get in a kingdom was a king, the king of a kingdom. And in spiritual realms, the highest you could get to was a priest and finally the high priest. And so we're talking about physical and spiritual realms. Through Jesus Christ, Christ has made us kings and priests. Do you know that about yourself? Do you realize that you're a king? You're a priest. And live like one. Behave like the king you are. Behave like the holy priesthood that you are. He says the same thing in Revelation 5, 9 through 10. And they sang a new song saying, you are worthy to take the scroll and to open the seals, for you are slain and have redeemed us to God by your blood out of every tribe and tongue and people and nation, and have made us kings and priests to our God, and we shall reign on the earth. You do understand the concept of a priest. The concept of a priest is this. You have access to God. You can approach God for other people. You can approach God for yourself. You can approach God for other people. You can go to the throne of God and pray to God Almighty for anyone or anything. Folks, that's an honor. And kings, whether you realize this or not, folks, Christ is King of kings and Lord of lords. He's reigning right now. And us with Christ makes us kings. So you see how this sermon goes. When I was a little boy, heard it many times. Don't forget who you are. The whole idea was You're my boy. You're my son. Go out there in this community and live like my son. Live like my boy and bring honor to me by the way you live. And don't bring dishonor by going out and living in sin. I understood that as a boy. You know, I think it's more important that we understand it as mature individuals, adults, Christians. We need to understand who we are and what we are. What we are, don't you know? Don't you know that you are the temple of God? That the Holy Spirit is in you? Don't you know that Christ is dwelling in your heart through faith? Don't you know the temple is holy? And as the temple of God with the Holy Spirit and Christ in you, you and I should be living a life of holiness, coming out from among the world, not even touching the unclean things, separating ourselves from the darkness and the sins of the world, not opening the door and diving in. Instead, we should be living a life of absolute holiness. We are children of God. We are children of God who is love. We are children of God who is holy. We are children of God who is righteous. We are children of God who is pure. And as children of God, we need to reflect our Father and not forget who we are. We are His children. Live like it. We are chosen. We are royal. We are holy. We are special. Live that way. Know who you are. You are kings. You are priests. Live that way. Don't forget who and what you are. And live it accordingly. I thank you for your kind attention. If there's anybody here this morning who is not in Christ yet, the way you get into Christ is by obeying the gospel. If you have come to believe that Jesus truly is the Christ, the Messiah, the Son of God, if you believe this and you have not become a Christian yet, you need to be willing to openly confess your faith about Jesus. And then driven by your faith, make the commitment of repentance, that is to follow the Word of God by faith in your life, and we'd be glad to assist you and baptize you into Christ as quick as we can get to the water. If you're in Christ already, this sermon was meant to remind us of exactly who and what we are in that relationship with God through Jesus Christ, that we are the temple of God, that we are children of God, that we are royal priesthood, that we are special. If you have not been living accordingly, but to the contrary, you've been opening the door, diving into the darkness, diving into sin, it's time to come out from among them, okay? If you are in the darkness and in the world, it's time to come out of it. It's time to start living the real life of Christianity. It's time to live according to what you really are. Holy, righteous, and pure. We'll pray for you. We'll pray with you. We'll do the best we can to encourage you. If you are subject to the gospel call in any way, let us know where we stand and sing the song that Jason has selected.